we go back, we can identify which sections they are.
Madam Chair, House Section 1 is cancer chemotherapy treatment coverage. It prohibits health plan companies from charging patients treated with oral cancer chemotherapy drugs higher copays and enrollee cost sharing that is charged to patients treated with other types of chemotherapy drugs. It does not prohibit a health plan from requiring prior authorization. It states that a CGIP plan is deemed to be at parity and in compliance with this section, and that a health plan company is in compliance if it does not include orally administered chemotherapy drugs in the fourth tier of its pharmacy benefit. Section 2 deals with, it's a House-only provision, dealing with coverage for autism spectrum disorders. It requires health plans to cover autism spectrum disorders and lists some of the services that will be required. It discusses what professionals are responsible for supervising the treatment, and it states in Subdivision 4 that state health plans and state employee group insurance plans are to maintain their current level of service and instructs the commissioner to monitor services and provide a report on whether there are gaps in services between state plans and the CGIP plan and private health plans. Section 3 is a House-only provision. It is about cost containment from group purchasers. It requires group purchasers to distinguish between costs incurred for patient care and administrative costs for amounts that are paid to contractors, subcontractors, and other entities when submitting expenditure data to the commissioner. House Section 4 and Senate Section 1 have technical differences. They are about coverage of private duty nursing services, and they require a health plan to cover private duty nursing services for persons who are concurrently covered in a health plan and medical assistance. Next section is House-only Section 5, and it gives the definitions for the following section. Section 6, a House-only provision about contracts with dental care providers. It prohibits a dental provider agreement from requiring dentists to provide services not covered by the patient's dental plan at a fee that's dictated by the dental organization. Sections 7 through 12 are House-only provisions about creating an Interstate Health Insurance Competition Act. It would permit out-of-state health plans to provide health insurance to Minnesota residents if the plan complies with Minnesota laws that apply to that type of a health plan. It states that Minnesota laws are applicable. House Section 13 is a section that Ms. White will be covering in the state-operated services sections. The same is true for House Section 14. House Section 15 and Senate Section 2 from Senate File 2639 are similar. They're both in regard to adult foster care data privacy and security, which allows electronic video and audio recordings of foster care recipients to be stored by the license holder for more than 5 days if the recording is related to an investigation of a reported incident of abuse or neglect. The next section, Senate Section 5, will be covered by Ms. White and state-operated services. House-only Section 16 bans civilly committed sex offenders from possessing erectile dysfunction drugs. Section 17 prohibits civilly committed sex offenders from spending any wages to purchase erectile dysfunction drugs. Section 18 of the House, Ms. White will be covering. Sections 19 to 25 are related to the modification of the chemical dependency treatment fund formula This would require a flat rate of 16.14% for the cost of chemical dependency services. It establishes a consistent county match instead of the maintenance of effort. Section 26 is related to pilot projects for chemical health care. This section is similar to Senate File 2937, which had its second reading on May 3rd. This authorizes pilot projects for the commissioner to authorize and approve pilot projects for chemical health. It describes the requirements for program design and implementation, program evaluation, notice of project discontinuation. It goes over the duties of the commissioner. House Section 27 creates the Office of the Healthcare Inspector General. The purpose of this office is to deal with anti-fraud activities and protect the integrity of the state healthcare programs. It requires the office to periodically report to the commissioner and the legislature program management problems and recommendations to correct them. It requires an annual report and recommendations to the legislature and governor for corrective actions and reduction of error rates under certain circumstances. Sections 28 to 33 are the tax provisions that are in this bill. It eliminates the exemption for foreign operating corporations from corporate income tax return requirements. Moving on to Section 34, house-only language. Modifies the size of supervised living facility projects that must be forwarded by a municipality to the Department of Labor and Industry for review of plumbing plans. It would change the requirement to facilities licensed for 8 or more individuals. Those would be the only facilities that have to have their plans forwarded to the Department of Labor and Industry.
Not yet.
34.
Which one?
Give my message to you.
Madam Chair and members, the next section is Senate Section 14. It requires the county agency to redact all but the last four digits of the Social Security number of a medical assistance recipient from lien documents that are recorded or filed in the office of the county recorder or registrar of titles. The next section is Senate Section 15. That increases the marriage license fee for couples who have not completed 12 hours of premarital education by $5. Section 16, Senate only, appropriates $5 of the marriage license fee to the University of Minnesota for the Couples on the Brink project. House Section 35 and Senate Section 17, Ms. White will be discussing in the State Operated Services section. House Section 36 is about non-submission of healthcare claim by clearinghouse and the definition of a significant disruption. It lists the events that constitute a significant disruption that material affects the provider's or facility's ability to conduct business. Section 37 is a house-only provision that requires a report on human services fiscal notes. Section 38 is a house-only section related to prescription drug waste reduction. It requires a study of prescription drug waste reduction techniques that apply to long-term care facilities, veterans, nursing homes, and correction facilities. Section 39 is a house-only section that establishes a task force to study the prevalence of autism in the Somali community. Senate Section 18 was compared in the continuing care article. Senate only Section 19 requires the Board of Pharmacy to study and report to the legislature recommendations on adding veterinarians to the prescription electronic drug reporting system. And then we're at the repealers. Both House and Senate repealed the provisions related to the revised chemical dependency formula related to maintenance of effort. The Next repeal is related to House 26, the chemical dependency pilot projects. And the second paragraph, paragraph B, is related to the tax provisions in the bill and the foreign operating corporations. The House-only effective date deals with the chemical dependency treatment fund changes.
And Madam Chair and members, there's a separate sheet passed out entitled SOS Provisions. House staff and I try to consolidate all the state-operated services sections from both bills on this sheet. We'll start with the House state-operated services provisions. Section 13, House only, establishes an advisory group on state-operated services to make recommendations to the Commissioner of Human Services on services to provide. Section 14 is House only, requires legislative approval to move state-operated services programs, allows the commissioner to redesign the Mankato Crisis Center and close the Behavioral Health Hospital in Cold Spring. Section 72, House only, imposes a salary reduction on the Commissioner of Human Services, the Assistant Commissioner for Chemical and Mental Health, and state-operated services managerial employees until all full-time SOS employees are who are subject to collective bargaining are restored to full-time employment. The savings go to restore wages and benefits to employees. Senate-only state-operated services provisions. Section 5, Senate-only establishes a state-operated services account for revenues generated from certain state-operated services established after July 1st of 2010. The services include intensive residential treatment, foster care, and psychiatric extensive recovery treatment services, or PERTS. Now, House and Senate provisions related to MITO. The House amends the actual statute related to MITO, and it allows the number of beds at Cambridge to be reorganized into two 16-bed facilities, one for individuals with developmental disabilities and one for individuals with DD and co-occurring mental illness. The remaining beds must be converted into community-based transitional intensive treatment foster homes in the Cambridge area, staffed by state employees. The Senate has a rider, and it's to convert MITO to community-based services staffed by state employees, including PERTS, intensive transitional foster care as enterprise activities, and other community-based services. And the no-layoff provision applies to the services, and that's specified in the rider. The next is changes to ANOCA. Section 35, House, requires a redesign to be done by the advisory group that's established by the House in Section 13. The Senate requires the Commission of Human Services to develop the services in the metro area, and savings generated as a result of transitioning the patients may be used to fund supportive housing staffed by state employees. And House and Senate riders, the first is related to Mankato. The House appropriates $400,000 to Community Collaborative to continue crisis services in Mankato. The Senate appropriates $600,000 per year to the Community Collaborative for crisis services, and it's specified that they must recruit former employees of the Mankato Crisis Center recently laid off to staff the new services, and requires legislative approval to discontinue the funding. Related to the dental clinics, the state-operated services dental clinics, the House and Senate both appropriate $700,000 to continue the clinics in Brainerd, Cambridge, Faribault, Fergus Falls, and Wilmer. The House requires the commissioner to obtain MA critical access dental payments and cost-based payments. The Senate requires the commissioner, or the Senate pays for the dental services on a cost-based payment system established in Article 1, Section 22. A House rider appropriates $8.3 million to maintain the dental clinics, MITO, and other adult mental health services. And then other Senate riders. First of all, the Senate funding amounts for the specific services are in the tracking, not in each rider. In Eveleth, $106,000 in FY11, $44,000 in FY12 to maintain the building until the lease expires. I don't know where that $900,000 came from. Oh, Eveleth is 106 and 44 to maintain the building and establish this. I'm realizing there's something got deleted in here. And to establish a intensive foster home. And then Wadena is that $900,000 to restaff, reopen, and operate at the hospital level care until June 30th. And convert to a psychiatric extensive recovery treatment services after June 30th of 2011. Brainerd is to convert the hospital to a neurocognitive psychiatric intensive treatment service. The Senate also prohibits the commissioner from moving beds from St. Peter, from Anoka to St. Peter, and it requires the commissioner to implement savings of $6.006 million including maximizing budget savings through strategic employee staffing and implementing cost reductions in cooperation with SOS employees, and also requires the commissioner to seek federal approval where necessary.
Are there any questions about anything in this section? Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair, thank you. Ms. White, so the $900,000 one-time FY11 appropriation is for Wadena?
That's correct.
Any other questions? Members, when you're speaking, if you can please have your microphone right in front of you because this conference committee is being webcasted. They can't hear you if you don't have your microphone in front of you. Are there any other questions? If not, I believe we have Article 2.
Chair, members, Article 2, first section is House only. It amends the definition of related health care entity in the Health Records Act to
Madam
include.
Madam Chair, we don't have Article 2.
Right. It's arrived, but it needs to be handed out. What I've been informed. I believe everyone has one. Now we can begin.
Madam Chair, members, House Section 1, House Only Provision. It amends the definition of related health care entity in the Health Records Act to include affiliates of providers participating in the coordinated care delivery system. House Section 2, House Only, directs the Commissioner of Human Services to review all ongoing studies, reports, and evaluations completed by DHS between FY 2006 and 2010. Requires the Commissioner to report on legislative appropriation, the actual cost of completion, and to make recommendations as to which studies, reports, evaluations are duplicative and unnecessary or obsolete. Requires this to be done every 5 years. Senate Section 1, Senate only, increases the hospital surcharge to 2.63% from July 1 of 2010 to September 30 of 2011, after which it goes down to 2.3%. House 3 and Senate 2 both increase the HMO surcharge. The House increase is 2.5% effective June 1, 2010. The Senate goes to 1.45% effective October 1, 2010. And the Senate deposits the additional revenue in the Health Care Access Fund. Senate 3 is Senate only. It eliminates partial rebasing of medical assistance inpatient hospital rates and delays full rebasing, which is scheduled for April 1, 2012, until January 1, 2013. House 4 and Senate 4 address MA inpatient fee-for-service hospital rates. The House temporarily reduces inpatient hospital payments and also provides a temporary increase for specified children's DRGs. The Senate provides a temporary increase of 5% for FY11 and then an ongoing increase of 0.63%. Senate 5 is Senate only. Increases MA inpatient hospital rates for certain listed mental health diagnoses at private nonprofit hospitals with high rates of mental health admissions. The total cost may not exceed $10 million per fiscal year. Senate 6 is Senate only. Increases MA inpatient hospital fee-for-service rates at non-metro hospitals for 16 listed DRGs to 100% of the metro average rate. And Senate 7, Senate only again, establishes two per-admission increases in MA inpatient hospital rates. The first applies to private nonprofit hospitals and varies based on the percentage of hospital admissions that are reimbursed by government payers. Rate is effective July 1, 2010, and is adjusted downward on April 1, 2011. The second increase goes to all Minnesota hospitals and is set at $850 per admission from July 1, 2010 to March 31, 2011, and after that it goes down to $320 per admission.
And Madam Chair, House Section 5 is House only. It provides that MA and Minnesota Care funds should not be expended on any sex selection abortion or for health benefits coverage that includes coverage of sex selection abortion. House Section 6 is House only. It allows the Commissioner to purchase medical supplies using volume purchase through competitive bidding and negotiation. Senate Section 8 is Senate only, limits the frequency of non-emergency medical transportation level of need determinations to annually rather than semi-annually, unless the individual circumstances have changed to require a new determination. House Section 7, Senate Section 9.
Madam Chair, is there a fiscal note on Section 8?
Representative Thiessen, we had hoped there would be, but there was a zero fiscal note.
Okay.
But we still think it's a good policy to not be doing wasteful reassessments. Continue.
Madam Chair, House Section 7, Senate Section 9 deal with MA early expansion for adults without children. They're similar with the following differences. There's some differences in the language about persons being in a household with no children. The House prohibits enrollment in Medicare. The Senate doesn't include this language. The Senate excludes coverage of long-term care services for certain individuals, and the House does not include this provision, and there are differences in effective dates. House is effective January 1, 2011, or upon federal approval. Senate effective date is June 1st of 2010. Then House Section 8, Senate Section 10 deal with asset limits, and these are different provisions. The House requires motor vehicles valued over $50,000 to be treated as a non-exempt asset. The Senate specifies that no asset limit applies to MA adults without children. Then House Section 9 is House only. This is also related to the counting automobiles valued at more than $50,000 as a non-exempt asset. House Section 10, Senate Section 11 deal with the income limit for the adults without children. And there's a difference in the effective dates. Again, House is January 1 of 11 or upon federal approval. Senate provision is effective June 1st of 2010. And there's some technical differences. Then House Sections 11, 12, and 13 are House only. They deal with physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech-language pathology and audiology. For each of these services, the House reduces the service thresholds above which one would need prior authorization and also eliminates coverage for specialized maintenance therapy. Then House...
Madam Chair, I'm sorry.
Representative Thiessen?
If we could go back to Section 8 and Section 10 briefly. The no asset limit in the Senate language, what is that I'm referring to?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thiessen, that's referring to no asset limit for the expansion to MA adults without children.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Representative Thiessen, we believe that's a federal requirement.
No, that's, thank you. I just missed it.
Yeah. So, Madam Chair, I guess the next section now is House Section 14, which is House only. This limits payment for chiropractic services to one annual evaluation and 12 visits per year unless prior authorization is obtained. Then House Section 15, House only. This section modifies dental coverage for non-pregnant adults. It basically reinstates services that were eliminated last year by the legislature, and the changes in the services are listed in the summary and also in the bill language. Then House Section 16 is House only. This deals with prescription drug payment rates, and it's related to, a national court settlement. It's basically expressing the payment rates for the acquisition cost of a drug in terms of AWP, and it changes the AWP formula to provide additional or to sort of cover the loss, of the pharmacies. And it also expresses the payment in terms of wholesale acquisition costs. And it also does the same thing for the payment rates for anti-hemophilic factor drugs. Then Section 12 is Senate only, deals with medication therapy management, and it provides that if there are no pharmacists who meet the requirements to provide these services within a reasonable geographic distance, a pharmacist who does meet the requirements can provide the services via two-way interactive video. Then House Section 17, this is basically reducing provider reimbursement for abortion services by 3%. House Section 18, House only, provides that MA covers oral language interpreter services only if the interpreter is listed on the registry or roster established by the Commissioner of Health. Then House Section 19 is House only. It allows the commissioner to set payment rates for specified categories of medical supplies at levels below the Medicare payment rate. Then House Section 20, Senate Section 14 deal with services provided in birth centers, and they're similar. Both bills provide that MA covers services provided in a licensed birth center. They set payment rates for facility services and professional services and require the commissioner to apply for federal waivers. And the differences are there's a technical difference in the reference to a birth center. The Senate specifies a payment rate for nursery care services. The House does not. And there are differences in the effective date. Then House Section 21, Senate Section 15 deal with MA co-payments. both the House and the Senate reduced the co-payment for non-emergency visits to a hospital-based emergency room. There's some differences in formatting. And then the House, but not the Senate, increases the per-month maximum for prescription drug co-payments from $7 to $12. Then House Section 22, Senate Section 16 sort of make conforming changes that mirror, you know, Section 21 and Senate Section 15. House Section 23 and Section 1 of Senate Article 5 deal with the state health care program provider participation requirement, or Rule 101. The House eliminates references to the coordinated care delivery system and general assistance medical care, provides a contingent effective date. The Senate clarifies some existing language that specifies how the state program participation requirement applies to GAMC pharmacy providers. Then House Section 24 is a conforming change related to the elimination of coverage for specialized maintenance therapy. Senate Section 17, it authorizes the commissioner to modify the care coordination payments in order to qualify for the enhanced federal match that's part of federal health care reform. House Section 25 requires the Commissioner of Human Services to establish a payment reform demonstration project to reduce hospitalization, ER use of high-cost medications and specialty services, and the use of long-term care services. It's House only. Section 18 of the Senate, this is Senate only except for one subdivision, requires the commissioner to develop a demonstration project to test alternative and innovative healthcare delivery systems for MA, adults without children. And there's language in both bills that I believe is nearly identical that requires the commission to establish a separate pilot program in Hennepin or Ramsey County or both to test integrated healthcare delivery networks. Then House Section 28 and Senate Section 19 both established a managed care plan performance target related to the reducing the use of emergency rooms, and they're just technical differences. House Section 29, Senate Section 20 increased payments to managed care and county-based purchasing plans. The House increase is 1.3% effective July 1 of 2011. Senate increase is 1.28% effective October 1st of 2010. And the House language applies this to Minnesota Care Families with Children. The Senate does this later in the bill in Section 27. House Section 30 reduces MA and Minnesota Care payments to managed care plans by 1%. This is a House-only provision, but there is a Senate rider on managed care rate reductions. House Section 31, House-only. This section limits the total monthly net income that a managed care plan can receive from public programs to 6% of total monthly revenues. It places a limit on allowable administrative costs, and it requires the commissioner to use any savings to provide increases to nursing facilities in their operating payment rates. House Section 32 is House only, and this is basically a conforming change to language in House Section 59, which is House contingent expansion of the GMC fee-for-service transition period. Then House Section 33, Senate Section 2, Article 5, are a deal with, it basically removes a cross-reference, and they're identical except for the effective dates. then House Section 34, Senate Section 3 of Article 5, removes some references to the prepaid general assistance medical care program. Again, there are differences in effective dates. Then House Section 35 is House only. It phases in cost-based reimbursement for children's hospitals.
House Section 36 and Senate Section 21 deal with rate reductions for physician and professional services. The House adds a rate reduction for the therapy services. This is house only. And then for the physician and professional services rate reduction, the House reduces this by an additional 3% effective July 1, 2010. The Senate reduces the rates by an additional 1.5% effective July 1, 2011. And then both the House and the Senate increases payments for physicians and professional services delivered in clinics that are owned by a nonprofit HMO. And there is a difference in the rate. The Senate rate increases that rate by 25% effective October 1st, and the House raises it 15% effective June 1st. House Section 37 and Senate Section 22 deals with creating a cost-based payment system for state-operated dental clinics. There are some minor differences here. The House threshold to these payments, including a supplemental payment, that the payments would total $1.8 million. The Senate has this totaling $1.85 million. And then the Senate has a language that says that if this cost-based payment system is not approved by the federal government, then these clinics would be designated as a critical access dental provider, and the House has them designated as a critical access dental.
Could we just
regardless.
Stop you for a minute, Ms. Kavanaugh? Some of us on the Senate side don't have the next page 15 and beyond, however many there are.
That's not good.
No one has So before you continue, I think we need to get copies of those pages made.
I have an old copy. I mean, I've got an old copy. Well, they didn't print them all.
Well, maybe we'll just stop with that part of this section then, and we'll come back to it when we get the copies. Are there any other sections ready? No more sections are ready.
Madam Chair, we could go through the forecast document if you want to do that.
Could you direct us to that, Mr. Giel?
That is Article 9 on the House side, 8 on the Senate.
Don't have it.
We don't have it in our books.
Oh, okay.
Farther than
I have it. What is it?
It's.
Yeah, I think in section 9.
It's Article 7.
We have the text, which is not terribly complicated.
Well, it's not in our books.
Yeah. It's just upside down.
There is no staff comparison. There's just the revisor's document for.
Right, but we don't have, we all don't have that in our books. Am I the only one that doesn't have it in my book? Okay, well, I have one now, so we can go ahead. Staff.
Madam Chair, the. This is the forecast adjustments appropriations, and the appropriations are all identical. There are some formatting differences, and there's a typo House language on R4138.9. That should be the healthcare access fund rather than the TANF fund. Other than that, except for the format differences, they're identical.
So could you just repeat where the correction needs to be made?
Yes, Madam Chair. On R4, on the House side, at 138.9, That should be the healthcare access fund. And on the formatting differences, the staff is recommending the Senate approach.
Do you want to move the correction?
Yep. I would move the Article 9. We adopt the correction on line 138.9.
I think the recommendation, Mr. Giel, is to adopt the House language.
No, Madam Chair, the staff recommendation is to take the Senate on the formatting. So basically to take the Senate article since it has the health care access in there already. So just.
Oh, okay. Then we don't need that motion.
Then I would move that we accept the Senate language for this article, Article 8 in the Senate.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Do we have anything else ready yet? All right. Would anyone be of a mind to go through the articles that we do have and adopt the identical items, holding on the adoption of any money? Okay.
So moved.
All right. I don't think we need a motion. I think we just can go ahead. Staff can help us direct us back to the articles that we need to turn to.
Madam Chair, in House Article 4, Senate Article 3, page 2 of the staff side by side.
Article 4.
House Article 4, Children and Family Services.
Senate 3. House 4.
On page 2 of the staff side by side. Section 6 is identical to an outlier bill related to special needs. Modifies who may qualify for a specific food allotment under MSA program for adults under age 65 who qualify as shelter needy.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, could we go, even though these aren't identical, go back up to Section 4? And I would move that we adopt the Senate language because I think the part of the House language that's not identical is illegal.
That would be fine with the House, with the Senate, if it's all right with the House. Okay. You've heard Representative Thiessen's motion. Is there any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Ms. White?
Madam Chair, House Section 14 and Senate File 2505 are identical. Directs the Commissioner of Human Services to direct $500,000 in federal child care development funds to provide statewide child care training, coaching, consultation, and support the quality rating system.
Ms. White, can I just ask a question about this? It indicates that this is being conferenced in another conference committee.
Yes, this section is included in a conference committee that starts about right now.
So can we just hold? Maybe this doesn't even need to be in our bill, and we could make the printing a little shorter. We have on section 13 just technical differences.
So, Madam Chair, I would move we file a staff recommendation and adopt the House language section.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion is adopted.
Then, Madam Chair, the next set of sections that are identical are related to, are in the miscellaneous article, House Article 5, Senate Article 6. Beginning on the staff summary on page 11, relating to the CD treatment fund.
Oh, I don't have a summary. Where do we need to be, Ms. White?
On page 11 of the staff side-by-side summary, there's several sections related to modifying the chemical dependency treatment fund formula and capping it at 16.14% and eliminating the MOE.
Okay.
It would be Senate sections 6 to 13, and then the repealer in section 20.
That does. Okay, so it's open. It's your fault.
Also, just to clarify, if you look on page 12, Senate section 10 is related to a federal requirement to cap the non-federal share at 30%. That's also in Article 10. Section 4. If we adopt it here, then we'll take it out of Article 10, but it's identical language.
So, Madam Chair, I would like to move that sections 6 to 13 and section 20 of the Senate language be adopted.
Any discussion?
Madam Chair, is there any financial impact to doing this stuff?
No. There's no financial impact to the state in this section on either the Senate
right.
or the,
yeah.
part of the
okay.
House. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
So what did we adopt?
6 through 13.
Right. Just
here.
This one. Okay.
Ms. White, does that complete that article? CD stuff.
So all four. Yeah.
Check.
I think that's it for the miscellaneous article, Madam Chair.
Yeah, are there any other articles we have that we can?
Six. The
six.
Six. Good. Six.
Section 10.
We before we do that, maybe did we take all the electronic record sections out?
Yeah, we did.
That's the wrong.
Madam Chair, yes, we did that last night.
Yours goes to that. Yeah. Miscellaneous. Okay, we're on Article 6 now. Section 10.
Where are we going? Article 10.
Article 10.
Section Article
10.
I don't know.
I think it's
she asked about the electronic.
She's wondering if all this was taken out.
She wants you to know.
I was asking Ms. Hall.
Madam Chair, what is the question? Is it the
got the
electronic?
Answer.
Okay,
that's fine.
Okay, take that all. I'm assuming you want it all out. We do
you
that,
moved
la-
that
yeah,
yesterday.
Last day. Okay.
What are we doing?
Office deficit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
Yeah.
Do the
identicals. On some sections as we're rolling through stuff today.
The first identical is House Section 9.
They should.
Yeah. Well, it's in the bill that the, it's in the birth center bill that's in the question whether we want to do it here or we want to keep it in the separate bill that's passed the.
What is she on? Where are you?
Well, I don't know if the House has a separate bill.
Huh? Department of Health article. What number is
it? I think we
six?
Need to keep it in this bill because the House does not have a separate bill.
Yes.
So we can just compare it to the bill that's passed the.
Identical.
All right.
This is yours too, Tony.
Tony.
So you want to do it?
Yeah, where are we?
On 9.
Tony, this is all yours?
Yeah.
Page 7 of the side by side. House. We've
got our where are we on?
Article 6, Section 9.
Opposing to eliminate.
Madam Chair, I would move that we
adopt this stuff.
Adopt the House language, Article 6, Section 9.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
And there's House Section 10.
Could we just, you know, this was a provision that was adopted in the Senate, and it was not a bill, and it did not have any hearings. So could we just get someone from the Department of Health up at the table to answer a question that I would have about this? Welcome, Mr. Golden. Does the department now or do they have any intention of collecting firearms data?
Madam Chair, committee members, no, the department does not collect any information regarding firearm ownership, nor do we collect any information on concealed carry. We have no need for that information. And we have no intention of collecting it into the future because we see no need to have that to carry out our responsibilities.
So there would be no harm in adopting this language?
Madam Chair, that is correct.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Madam Chair, I would move that
we adopt
the language in House Section 10.
Madam Chair, it seems to me that in light of Mr. Golden's testimony that this provision is not necessary, so I'm just sort of struggling with why it's included or why it would be included.
Madam Chair, that would be my same position, and I'm wondering if we couldn't vote to eliminate it instead.
Madam Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
I think the tradition is, I mean, these are identical articles that pass both the House and the Senate. It has support, a majority support in both the House and the Senate.
I have no objection to adopting the article or the
Madam Chair, I have no objection if it's the will of the conference committee to adopt it. I do think that the Senate position isn't as you mentioned, was not necessarily based on any type of dialogue or vetting of this particular provision.
I don't think it hurts the work of the department, so I have no objection. I think Representative Huntley has moved adoption of Article 10 of the House language. Section 10 of Article 6 of the House. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
The licensure language for the birth centers, and that's in 2702. I believe this is it passed the Senate floor.
Well, Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the House language, Article 6, Section 15.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, looks like House Section 12 and Senate Section 4 there is related and similar with a recommendation. We might be able to move.
It's money, but it's
as
a
well. Is it difference
revenue
in money? Oh, it's money. Okay, I got it.
Well, we can adopt language, and then if we don't do the money, then the language won't be in the bill, but at least we'll have the language done.
There are technical differences in the language, and then so we recommend the Senate version.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the Article 6, Section 4 of the Senate.
Any discussion?
Can you describe what the, Madam Chair, what the technical difference is? I got to go to the language, but it says in Section 12 that we're depositing the money to a particular place, and you're not.
Madam Chair and Representative Thiessen, we had that same language, but we are not depositing the entire amount. We're not appropriating the entire amount from the surcharge that's going to go into the general fund to the information system. So we have the same language that says it's deposited in the general fund, and then we both have riders that appropriate the specific amount that goes to the birth defects information system.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
The House Section 16 and House Section 18 are, again, two sections that are in the Birth Center bill, and they're identical, the sections in the Senate bill.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt in the House language Article 6, Section
16. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
And then House Section 19 and House Section 22.
16 and 18.
This is transferring powers of the Emergency Medical Board with respect to the CALS program to the Department of Health, and it's identical,
so we're doing something
both the House and the Senate.
So, Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the House language, Article 6, Section
19 and 22.
19 and
2. And House Section 23 is also related to that.
And 19, 22, and 23.
Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then, Madam Chair, on page 11 on the House, it's Article 8, Section 2, which is in their public health section, and Senate Section 6. This deals with the fees for youth camps and that they wouldn't have to pay an additional youth camp fee if they've already paid a beverage and establishment fee, and there's technical differences, and we would recommend the House on this.
Madam Chair, I would like to move we adopt the House language in Article 8, Section 2.
Any discussion?
It's same page.
Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Article 6.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then Article 8, Section 3 of the House and Senate Section 7, they are identical, and they again, basically say that if a manufactured home park has only paid one fee, that they don't have to pay another fee, and it's identical.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt House language, Article 8, Section 3.
Any discussion? Okay. Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Is that all kind of tiny?
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Does it go with any other sections?
That's what they have a fiscal note.
Oh, okay. Then House Section 20 and Senate Section 8. This would is identical, authorizes the health plans and county-based purchasing plans to compile and submit to Health and Human Services a list of duplicative government requirements concerning data collection, documentation, and reports.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt House language, Article 6, Section 20.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
That's it.
All right, it appears that we now have Article 3. Article 3.
Madam Chair, House 3, Senate Article 2, continuing care. The first six sections are Senate-only provisions, and they relate to the Senate's Housing with Services proposal. Do a variety of things. I think the key issue is in Section 2, prohibits a Housing with Services establishment from contracting with a prospective resident or allowing one to move in until the establishment receives certification that the person has received a transition to Housing with Services consultation. The other sections talk about the service contract and certain information that has to be provided, lease termination, and the Uniform Consumer Information Guide.
Well, I don't know, but
turning to page 3, House, sure Section 1, House only, it modifies TEFRA parental fees. House Section 2 is House only, but there's an identical Senate provision that has passed the Senate in Senate File 3073, and this allows the Minnesota Council on Disability and other organizations to submit an annual report to the legislature and lists the information that must be included in the report. Requires certain commissioners to assist in the preparation of the report.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the House language, Article 3, Section 2.
Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Senate Section 7, Senate only, increases the nursing home annual surcharge by $585 to a total of $3,400 per year. Section 8, Senate only, increases the ICFMR surcharge by $2,997 per year to a total of $4,037. Section 9 is Senate only. It's more of the housing with services proposal. Requires a senior linkage line service to incorporate information about housing with services establishments. House 3 is House only. Relates to the MA Employed Persons with Disabilities Program. It increases premiums. Requires the commissioner to notify enrollees 24 months before they turn 65 of the MA rules affecting income, assets, and treatment that will take effect when they reach 65. Senate Section 10 is Senate only. Reduces the maximum number of hours a PCA can work in a month and be paid to 275 hours, down from the current limit of 310. And Senate Section 11 is more of the housing with services language. Requires the establishments to inform prospective residents of the requirements for a consultation before they enter the establishment.
Madam Chair, Section 4 is House only. This eliminates the automatic adjustment to elderly waiver case mix caps when there's an increase in the average state nursing facility payment rate. House Section 5, House only. This is a related change to the section just described previously. Section 12 is Senate only. It reduces service component rates and service rate limits for customized living services and 24-hour customized living services by 5%. And also requires managed care organizations to, or reduces rates for managed care organizations. Section 13 is Senate only. It increases the nursing home payment rate that's related to the nursing home surcharge by $2 per day, up to a total of $10.86 per day. Then, Article 2, Section 26 of the House, it's House only. This is a nursing facility rate increase of 2% for the period July 1, 2010 through June 30, 2011. Then effective July 1 of 2011, the increase, I guess, basically goes back down to 1.5% increase. Section 14 is Senate only. Suspends nursing facility rebasing rate adjustments during the period October 1st, 2009 to September 30th, 2013. Section 15 is Senate only. It prohibits the Department of Human Services from placing a limit on the number of adult waiver recipients receiving Assisted Living Plus services or customized living services who can reside in one building. House Article 2, Section 27 and Senate Section 16 both increase payment rates for ICFMRs. The House provides a 2% increase July 1, 2010 through June 30, 2011. Then the increase is 1.5%. The Senate increases rates by $8.74 per bed per day. House Section 6, Senate Section 17, the House amends programs for the or language for the PACE program by removing obsolete language related to payment. This is House only language. Then both the House and the Senate basically close MINDO enrollment effective December 31st of 2010. And there are only technical differences here. Then House Section 7, Senate Section 18 delay the effective date of the Essential Community Support Grants until July 1st of 2011. It's just done in different ways. The Senate has an instruction to the reviser, and the House amends language. Then House Section 8, Senate Article 6, Section 18 require DHS to provide recommendations and language for proposed legislation to reform case management, and their technical differences only. Section 9 is House only. It specifies that the single set of standards that govern services for people with disabilities are to be known as the quality outcome standards. House Section 10 is House only. This requires the commissioner to seek a federal financial participation for grants to Advocating Change Together, and requires a report to legislative committees. House Section 11 is...
Madam Chair, I'd like to move that we adopt Section 10. The amendment suggested by staff on 83.5.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, House Section 11 is House only. It's a rate increase for a facility, an ICFMR facility in Clearwater County. Then House Article 2, Section 71, these provide payment rate increases for home and community-based providers, again at 2% and then at 1.5%.
Are there any questions about that article?
Madam Chair, if you wanted to, there are staff recommendations on 6, 7, and 8.
Okay, let's try and figure that out.
What article did she say?
The same article, there's recommendations about technical differences in Section 6.
Yes, the staff recommends the Senate on paragraph F, those technical differences. And then on the PACE language that the Senate doesn't have, we have that in two bills that are both, they were on the Senate calendar as of yesterday, so they passed general orders.
So,
Rep. Sam Huntley.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make the motion that we adopt House language Section 6 with the correction that it would also include the Senate language from paragraph.
Yeah. No technical differences. Okay. Any discussion? None. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And then on 7, looks like the recommendation is the House language. Representative Huntley?
Madam Chair, I would like to move we adopt the House language in Section 7.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then in 8, Representative Huntley.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move we adopt Article 8 of the House with the following changes. Paragraph A, we would Clause 1 adopt the Senate language, and Paragraph A, Clause 2 adopt the Senate
Article
language.
3.
An article. Excuse me. Oh, okay.
according...
Article 3, Section 8.
Right, that was the motion, what the motion applied to.
Okay.
Any discussion?
Which one is this, Tony?
Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Okay, let's go on then. I think we have Article 7.
Took the staff recommendation.
Talk about.
Madam Chair, Article 7 is a House-only article. It deals with health care reform. Section 1 deals with the relationship between the federal risk pool that would be established under the federal reform legislation and coordinates that with our MSHA risk pool. Basically, this Subdivision 1 provides some definitions. Subdivision 2 provides the effective date. Then Subdivision 3 would require that the dollar amount of assessments made by MSHA comply with the federal law's maintenance of effort requirements for state risk pool funding to the extent that the MOE requirements would apply to the MSHA funding source. Subdivision 4 would require state health care program enrollment to be coordinated with the MSHA and the federal risk pool, and also coordinate, you know, enrollment under the risk pools with the state's health care programs. Section 2 would increase the size of the Legislative Commission on Health Care Access from 5 to 7 members of each body, and then would specify that 4 members would be from the majority party and 3 from the minority party in each body. House Section 3 would require the Legislative Commission on Health Care Access to analyze options and make recommendations related to provisions of federal health care reform. These would include the development of accountable care organizations, health insurance reform, and other provisions that require changes in state law. Also would allow the commission to create and make appointments to work groups. Section 4 deals with the language we had passed earlier related to provider pricing for baskets of care, and it sort of applies this to accountable care organizations and the total cost of care. It would require the Commissioner of Health to establish uniform definitions for the total cost of care. It would allow accountable care organizations to establish package prices for total cost of care, and then prohibit accountable care organizations from varying the amount of payment they accept as full payment. Would require the establishment of quality measures and also the publication of comparative price and quality information. Section 5 requires the commissioner by July 1st of 2012 to deliver services to state health care program enrollees through accountable care organizations. Section 6 coordinates existing state health care home language with the federal health home provisions. And one of the changes is in, Subdivision 4, it requires the commissioner to establish health teams to support the health homes. And it requires the commissioner to ensure that the requirements and payment methods for health homes and health teams are consistent with state requirements for healthcare homes to the extent that's possible. Section 7 requires the Commissioner of Human Services to seek to participate in specified demonstration projects or apply for certain grants, and these are tied to options in the federal reform bill. This would be the demonstration project to evaluate integrated care around hospitalization, the Medicaid Global Payment Demonstration Project, the Pediatric Accountable Care Organization Demonstration Project, the Medicaid Emergency Psychiatric Demonstration Project, and also to apply for grants to provide incentives for the prevention of chronic diseases. Section 8 establishes a healthcare reform task force that's modeled on the transformation task force. It specifies membership. It would require the task force to present by December 15, 2010, a preliminary report and recommendations on state implementation of federal health care reform, and also the task force has established timelines and criteria for future reports. House Section 9 requires the Commissioners of Health, Commerce, and Human Services to apply for federal grants that are available in the federal health care reform legislation and to use these grants to pay for state planning and creation of state health insurance exchanges. And then it requires the commissioners to analyze the advantages and disadvantages to the state of implementing a health insurance exchange before the January 1st, 2014 federal deadline. And House Section 10 would require the Commissioner of Human Services to report on the costs and savings to the state related to the implementation of federal health care reform.
I'm going to make a suggestion, and then we can see if we like it or not. But we had in another article direction to the commissioner to do certain things in regard to health care reform as well. And so I'm thinking maybe if the staff could see how they could merge these two things, then we could look at it and see if we like it. Obviously, we don't want to adopt both of them and have them be in conflict with each other. Does that sound like it would be doable? We work on trying to combine these things where the commissioners are supposed to be applying for certain demonstration projects, etc., from the Senate side and the House side so that the conferees could look at it.
Can we just do something like this? Is that what you're talking about? Like,
well, if, I mean, obviously we both want to apply for these things, so I'm just thinking if we could get it put together, and then if you do have a question about things that are in conflict, you could point that out to us, and then we could make a decision about it. Being that they're in totally different sections of the bill, it's hard. It's going to be hard for us to even talk about them together, otherwise, I think. So we'll just give the staff that direction.
Madam Chair, are you referring to, I mean, I can only think of one demonstration project that we have in ours.
Yes, I understand that, but the House has some of that in here also. They have a little more, they have a few more things.
Yeah.
Theirs as well. Hmm. And so if there's some way that we can bring these things together, that's what I'm looking for assistance asking us to do.
Okay.
Did you see that?
From the White House. It's out of focus. It's not clear if the governor does not apply.
No, I didn't see
the legislature. They don't know.
The center column is not shaded.
It's not?
Yeah.
It did come.
Okay. And then maybe we have just a little bit of time here before the Senate goes into session and we would be taking a natural break. Perhaps we could just get a little bit of testimony regarding the language in this article regarding the risk, federal risk pool, MSHA, the federal risk pool, and for the benefit of the Senate, get an idea of whether this is in conflict or not with the reading that the administration would have for this section of the federal law. There's someone from the Department of Commerce that could come up to the table to help us with this.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Gross with the Department of Commerce.
I didn't quite hear exactly what you would want me to provide, Senator Berger.
In regard to the sections of Article 7 in the House bill that deal with the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association and the federal high-risk pool, could we just get your assessment of the language as to whether it conflicts with the federal law in any way, or if it gives the kind of direction that we would be allowed to give to the MSHA?
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I haven't had time to evaluate this, but going back to the 10,000-foot level, you know, the governor decided not to have our risk pool be involved with it. However, the health and U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has indicated that they were looking at, in the states that have opted out, they are looking at the risk pools to see if they would want to do this. So apparently HHS has contacted the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association to see if they're willing to do this. I would assume that the HHS will set up the regulations and the format as to how they would implement this. Do we want to try to, at this moment, try to guess what's going to happen or not with HHS contract with our risk pool, if that happens?
Representative Huntley?
Well, Madam Chair, there is apparently $68 million available at the state of Minnesota to do this for the next 3 years. And I think it's important that we try to maximize this and have it done the way we want it done rather than have the federal government just come in and set up something on their own.
Well, we did have a hearing in the Senate on this in the Commerce Committee, and in which the indication was that we would not lose out on the $68 million. Or whatever it turns out to be. That's a guesstimate of what it would be. And at least as I read the summary, it doesn't actually require the state to administer the high-risk pool.
No, I mean.
So I'm not sure what else it does if there's a conflict here with what we would otherwise be doing or not. So, Mr. Gross, maybe if you haven't had time to look closely enough at it, maybe you could do that. We could come back to this maybe later today.
Just to clarify that, as Senator Berglund pointed out, the state of Minnesota is supposed to be allocated $68 million. We're going to obviously make sure that the $68 million comes to Minnesota. It's a given that will happen. It's just a matter of what the process is, and we're going to make darn sure that we get the $68 million to set up this new risk pool so we can ensure whatever number of people that what that will encompass. We're anticipating that might be between 1,000 and 2,000 people. It's for 3.5 years that the risk pool will have to be in functioning. So our goal is to make sure we, Minnesota, get the $68 million. They're also have indicated that they might do some reallocation, depending on after a year, determining where the states are with the number of enrollees. So our goal is to make sure we capture as much as we can, and if possible, get more.
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Gross, Madam Chair and Mr. Gross, how can we maximize it if we are not running it? I mean, we may get the dollars, I agree with that, but if we have now turned it, if we do not apply, we have turned it over completely to the federal government, and we have no direct control of what they do. Is that true?
Representative Huntley, the testimony that we had in the Commerce Committee was that MSHA would still be able to help people understand the benefits of either being in the state program or the federal program, and they would be encouraging people to apply to the federal program when they were eligible for it. And I don't know. I mean, I guess we're kind of taking people at their word here, but Mr. Gross?
Ideally, if Department of Health and Human Services wants to, let's say they contract with MCHA to be the risk pool for the on the federal program, then ideally what MCHA would have the advantage would be is to figure out when somebody comes to apply which program to be in, the state program or the federal program. I think it's important to understand under the federal program that the individual that's applying cannot have been insured in the previous 6 months with any coverage. And we were doing some research on that last night and this morning, and that includes GMAC, would include Indian Health Service, et cetera, et cetera. So I think if MCHA gets selected, I think the big advantage we would have, obviously, is making sure people are aware of the fact that MCHA has funds, you know, for this federal program plus their existing program, and make darn sure that the individual is aware of this and get them insured.
Representative Huntley.
Well, you are correct. They do have to be uninsured for 6 months, and it would be my view that if we get the GAMC people, if they're in a CCDS, my view is that that is not insurance. It's a high risk pool. That nobody's the money just goes to the hospital, and so I don't see how you could classify that as insurance. And then it seems to me all these people that are on the new GAMC program, if it goes through, would be eligible to get into their piece of the $68 million.
Madam Chairman, Representative Huntley, we're trying to determine from HHS ask those questions and try to get some specific answers on those very questions to make explicitly clear if that would, in your way, work, that somebody that had general system medical care or whatever, would they actually qualify? Because we certainly want to utilize the risk pool, the $68 million, to get Minnesota residents insured with federal dollars.
You know, I just kind of sincerely doubt that there's going to be a lot of those people that are going to be applying to the high-risk pool because they have to pay, you know, substantial premiums compared to their income. So probably shouldn't get too worried about it. Well, Mr. Gross, you can help us this afternoon. In the meantime, Representative Murphy has one last question on this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Gross, I saw the letter from the governor to Secretary Sebelius last week, but I'm still a little confused on the position of the administration. So he doesn't want to participate. He doesn't want to have the state to participate, but we will take the funding. Can you just help us understand where the line is in that concept?
Madam Chairman, Representative Murphy, what's going on here is the governor decided not for Minnesota to be the administrator of this federal new risk pool. The Kathleen Sebelius, HHS, will create some method to make sure that for Minnesota there will be a risk pool here. The $68 million will be coming to Minnesota. It's just that the governor decided that he felt that we shouldn't be involved in that. Let HHS do that. One thing we're trying to do, all three departments, Health, DHS, and Commerce, with implementing this, is to reach out to our federal legislators in Congress to make sure that we can work together, that we, again, emphasizing that we get the $68 million, we don't get shortchanged here. Whatever we got to do, we're going to try to do it. To make sure we get the $68 million that we, and ideally we'd like to see our risk pool administering the federal program, because they already got everything in place and all they got to do is get the money and do it.
So my understanding, Representative Murphy, is that now that the governor sent that letter, that the federal government is contacting MSHA to see if MSHA would administer it on behalf of the federal government, because, you know, obviously for them to set up a federal agency to administer this for all the states that already have an administrating agency would probably be much more expensive. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And follow up to that, I that's what I thought I heard. And I guess I was just trying to clarify for myself the substantive difference between the administration's position and the net outcome of MSHA likely being the administrator and the state receiving the funding. And I think I understand that now. Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Gross? Okay, thank you very much. So we have any more copies of anything that's come to us? Okay, then
what have we done not done besides appropriations?
The Senate has some minor technical changes to make in our spreadsheet. I understand the House is making some changes as well. We were hoping that would be available so we could exchange those later this afternoon. So why don't we... And we may also have some more paperwork back later this afternoon. So why don't we say that we try and get back together about 2 o'clock? Does that sound like it's workable for the House? Your session starts then.
So we could
okay.
Maybe 2:45.
2:45 then? Well, just so they can get checked in, and if they have, you know, the equivalent of the Senate calendar to vote on, they wouldn't miss those calls. Sound okay?
Yep.
So we'll be in recess until 2:45.
Hey, Dan.
Except I just got all the stuff
yesterday.
Correct documents. Well, there apparently we're not getting the right
ones.
Yeah,
have a good
lunch.
You too. That's right. Because we won't get dinner.
That's right. And if it is, it's
going
to
be bad.
Katie's what's on. Nope. Someday I could see that happening.
We have one little
here.
You know.
It could be online.
Maybe we should see if the Senate has
pastors
to mark up.
Oh, I bet
they've
made some
already.
Yeah.
Sorry, I kept bumping your chair.
They're
kind of cumbersome.
We have one committee chair here, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, why do you want to go to the press somewhere?
No, I'm
right now. Well, there's six of them. You can go down. No problem.
Well, it's a job I don't have to take on.
I mean, I, you know.
I'll just put it in my.
Oh, the House and Senate. I think we've done that.
Yeah. Just a reminder.
Yeah, we texted. You know.
Yeah, and then back
is all.
Hi, Emily.
Language.
With these things, there's a
approach that difference thing. I'm not quite sure.
I have a clean copy of 9 some. Yeah, I know I've got 6. Yeah.
Okay.
In the whole.
All right.
One you're trying to avoid, one. Too. Yeah.
Yep, no problem.
I'm not without some experience as the chairman of our hospital.
So we've got more information
on the hospital board there for many years. My dad was close to that.
I'm satisfied.
Some things I'm just, I came here.
My dad was a county coroner for 18 years.
I would rather make sure you have the paper kind of situation.
And so forth.
Dennis?
Linda Berlin.
Very
leadership because they understand a lot better than anybody else.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. 241.
You are so in the know. I can't even believe it.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you meant you're going to keep an eye on me like I'm up to something.
You
I'm
can,
like.
You can find me.
I think what we
Senator, I forgot to give one to Berglund.
Doesn't
know all of this off the top of her head. But
okay, because we just guessed that one. I don't have that one.
All this is more limited is defined out.
The only thing I think that was forgotten in that was the chemical dependency.
That's our number one priority, actually, this year, is to school in long-term care.
A huge pot of money.
And this is the part I know.
Kids.
That's great.
Investing in the future. These aren't on.
Oh, was it?
It is fine.
This is the DTF stuff that was in Article 5.
Okay.
It was that lump.
Oh,
okay. Okay, because I marked up the continuum stuff in my book, but I don't carry my book back and forth between the office and here. I'm just wondering if we want to meet over here, like 2:15, and we can go through it.
Yeah, that sounds
here.
Really good. Okay, sounds good.
Because I'm just taking my articles.
Okay.
Sensory
good.
Overload
I'm going
is
to
bad.
Back to make my own
okay. It comes in handy. As well.
I don't know, I think we did them with just by the way,
ACO like forward for everybody else. That I like that the best.
I gave you one. I forgot to give one for your boss.
Oh, that's fine. I usually just give her the one you give me anyways.
Well, the bizarre thing is, out of all the senators I hit, I forgot to hit her. It's a Freudian thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to anger her.
Me neither.